Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is truly a day that God has made, and we all should rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, I honor you, and I ask that God bless each and every one of you for taking the time out your busy schedule to come together so that we may explore the Word of God. As always, it's a privilege and an honor to come before the people of God, realizing that God has ordained this, and it's His will that we continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of Him. Our lesson tonight is going to come from the book of Luke, the 12th chapter, the 16th through the 21st verse. And the title of the lesson is, When is Enough? Enough. You know, we all have aspirations and desires to achieve and to have. But we have to realize that we can't leave God out of it. And God don't mind us having all that we desire, but He's concerned with the way in which we try to achieve it. So we're going to go on and play a song. And we're going to come back and go to the throne of grace. And then we will explore the Word of God together. Be prayerful for our Bible study. And always remember to pray for one another. song is letting us know that God does have a master plan. And God's plan is his will, and his will is his way. And he has given us everything concerning his master plan. That's what kind of God he is. And God has established everything, and it could be found in a holy Bible. God is not doing things without giving us knowledge or understanding how he works, but we have to read his word to understand his will and know the direction that he wants us to go in. So we have to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ so that we can make it in this world. Because this world does not love nobody. And our lesson tonight is talking about how much is enough. So at this time, we have to go to the throne of grace and if anyone would like to pray, would you please press the one button on the phone? God is extending this opportunity to us tonight to be able to come boldly to his throne. You can press the one button on your phone and you could enter God's presence. Well, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, to give of every perfect gift. Heavenly Father, we take time right now to say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for what you have done. And thank you for all of the promises that you promised to do. Lord, we come to you with thanksgiving in our heart, realizing that everything that we have comes from you. Lord, we thank you that you have established in your word that you're going to take care of your children. We are your children, dear God. You told us that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Lord, you told us that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, you told us if we put our trust in you, we will be able to make it through dangers seen and dangers unseen. And for that, we are grateful. Lord, you told us if we continue to hold on to the confession of our faith, that we'll be the head and not the tail. Lord, you told us that you desire for us to have an abundant life. But Lord, we need you. We can't make it without you. Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon all the listeners that may be listening in different places. Lord, I thank you for the people who calls in from South Africa, the people in the United Kingdom, the listeners that have called in from Nigeria, and even some in Canada. And Lord, I can't leave out the United States and where I'm from, New Orleans, Louisiana. I thank you, dear God, for each and every person that calls in. I pray that the Holy Ghost does not let the words that go forth return void. And I pray that people don't just be listeners, but become doers. Lord, I want you to always let us know that you're not looking for our perfection, but our direction as we follow you. Lord, I thank you for your many blessings. And I have faith and hope of everything that is necessary will be delivered. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and thank God. That's our prayer for tonight. I got some calls on my cell phone. I don't know if there's a problem with people getting in the studio, but since the calls came through, some people have come in the studio, so I pray that everything is okay. So we're going to go ahead in our lesson tonight. I hope that everyone had a chance to read the 12th chapter of Luke. So the lesson that we will expound on tonight will have more meaning and you can receive more understanding. The Word of God says that you are only being taught that you may teach. All of us have responsibilities. God is not asking you to do something that He hasn't given you. God is not asking you to perform anything that He knows you can't perform. But we have to keep in mind that each and every one of us have something we could give, have some service we could perform that would be pleasing to God. And really and truly, that's just the way He planned it. Everyone have a gift and a talent and resources. You know, it's not just the millionaires who could, you know, give a hungry person a meal. You know, they have people maybe need clothes, and many of our closets is running over. Some of the stuff we can't even fit anymore, but we holding it. So, you know, I don't know what God wants you to do. So you have to evaluate that through prayer and listening to what the Holy Spirit is asking of you. And then try your best to do it. So if we look at this 12th chapter in the book of Luke, when the chapter opens up, Jesus is teaching. And Jesus was teaching His disciples about hypocrisy. And Jesus knew that His time on earth would end soon. So Jesus was preaching and teaching and teaching and preaching so that they could understand more. You know, that's almost like the world today. We know Jesus. Jesus was pumped up the volume because He knew He was about to leave. And I believe in my heart that He's pumping up the volume now because He's going to come back. But we have to be watchful and prayerful because Jesus is coming back. And once He do, all that you have done or didn't do, you won't be able to change it. You won't be able to add to it. And you won't be able to subtract to it. So with that being said, I'm asking that each and every one of us live each life honoring God, cooperating with the Holy Spirit, and loving on Jesus as our Lord. But He was teaching, like I said, on about hypocrisy. You know, hypocrisy is when you know the truth, but you don't do it. It is when you're living in a self-serving life, only concerned about yourself. And I want to let you know, there are billions of good people, and they don't necessarily do things that's wrong all the time because all of us fall short, but they never think about others. Hypocrisy. And, you know, there's, and it's also an outward, you know, you conform on the outside without any inward change. And hypocrisy also reduces faith to just rigid rules. You know, like a lot of things go on in church today. You got to do this, you know, it's men's day, so you got to wear a black dress, you know. The women can't wear pants, you know. Women can't go in the pulpit or whatever. You know, these are rules that is a part of religion. And the Bible lets us know what is necessary for Christianity, which are followers of Christ. So when Jesus was teaching, someone in the crowd in the same 12th chapter and the 13th verse, one of the men in the crowd said, they asked him to make his brother divide his inheritance with him. And the one, you know, and he asked him, he said, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." And verse 14 said, and he said to them, "Man, who made me judge or the divider over you?" And he said unto him, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possessed." There are so many people living in this world today. They figure their value and their self-worth depends on how much they have, or how good they dress, or what kind of car they drive. It's good to drive a nice car if you could afford it. And it's a beautiful thing to look beautiful as much as you can. But you gotta watch what you do to get it. It's the only problem. Not having, but what you do to get it, and then what you do with it once you get it. You see, this man didn't ask Jesus, would he? He just came out with a demand. You see, that's how plenty of times people do. I know a lot of people who don't study the word, they don't go to church, they don't contribute to the church. You know, they just live their life on their life terms. And whenever a problem or something comes, the first thing they call on is God, and they want to begin to pray like if God is a trick or to be used only for their convenience or when he fits their agenda. Hallelujah. So you see, this man didn't ask, he made a demand. And you see, people always want what they want even from you, not only Jesus. They don't care what you're doing when they want what they want you to do. They want their emergency to become your urgency, because people want what they want. You see, this man wasn't grateful to have the master in his presence teaching. How cool would that be? But his only concern was with what he wanted. You see, he was displaying a spirit of covetousness. Jesus looked at the man's heart, the attitude, and intent. And these are three things you guys should remember. God looks at the heart, the attitude in which you're doing whatever you're doing, and the intent. A good example for that is like if you give candy on Halloween, you know, there's many say that that's a devil worshiping holiday, going to Mardi Gras and holding your hands up for the bees when your hands should only be lifted up for God. But this is telling us that God looks at the heart, the intent, and the attitude. Now, if you just want to give the children the candy and not trying to worship the devil, the attitude in which you're doing it is giving. And the intent is to make some child happy. You see, when we bring problems to God in prayer, he often does the same with us, showing us how we need to change and grow in our attitude towards the problems that face us. You know, at some point, we're going to grow up, and we're going to stop speaking to God about how big the problem is, but begin to speak to the problem about how big your God is. The answer is often not the one you're looking for, but it is more effective in helping us trace God's hand in our lives. How you know the way God is working with you, unless you have all kinds of situations and circumstances when he showed up different kind of ways? Come on now, y'all. You see, the answer may not be what you want, but you take that answer and you ponder on it and see which way God is going. And most of the time, if not all the time, you will understand by and by. You see, he didn't let you get that house on Apple Street because he knew it was termite infested. He didn't let you get that house on Mabel Drive because he knew they had Chinese drywall in it. See, we could only deal with what we can see right now, but God knows the beginning and every end. But you got to trust him. You got to trust him. You see, this was neither, when this man was asking Jesus that, this was neither the time nor the place to bring up such matters. Jesus teaching, and he come with this, what a demand that he want Jesus to do. Even though the man didn't fully understand, but he didn't understand the word of God maybe fully, but he knew it was something different about Jesus. Hallelujah. And he knew that if Jesus agreed with him, everything would be all right. Do you know when Jesus agreed with you how everything gets to be all right? Jesus went on to tell him things doesn't make or break you. It is not what you have, but who you are in Christ Jesus. See, we to truly love on ourselves, you know, depression is all around. The world is full of evil. Our leaders is gone crazy, and it could keep you in a despondent state. But once you really know who you are, who you belong to, realizing that he has all power in his hand, when you start knowing that no matter how it look or feel, and it's not like you want it, but can you just stand up and say, because I'm a child of God, it is well? It is well. Jesus told a man, I'm not the judge or divider over you. And there are courts to take care of these matters. But Jesus wasn't telling him that he was not a judge, but not an earthly judge. Come on now. But he's the righteous judge of God. Jesus is saying a good life has nothing to do with being wealthy. How many poor people y'all know, and I'm not talking about poor all the way. I have some friends, and I'm going to be truthful. My friend get a Social Security check, $700 a month. But it's amazing that everything in her house is everything she needs. She's not lacking nothing, you know. And God has designed programs to help you with your rent, and then he give you food stamps. And some of those people are the happiest people in the world. So that proves that your happiness is not determined by your wealth, because, you know, rich people jump off bridges. Some of them shoot their brains out. With this in mind, you should be on guard against greed, always desiring what you don't have. And you got to remember, everything ain't for everybody. Some of us will never be an entrepreneur, but that don't make us any less. Everybody may not own a home. You see, in the world we live in, society teaches us that if you don't have a home, something is wrong with you. And there's people that go around and use this thing, oh, you're paying rent and you'll never own it. But those who own property, you know that you are constantly paying. You fixing it, you paying a tax, you fixing insurance, you fixing the pipes, you fixing the roof. And everybody is not concerned with all that, and it's okay. But you see, if you live in a house that you bought and it has four walls and a roof, when the rain come down, it won't come on you. And if you rent a house, and it has four walls and a roof, when the rain come down from the sky, it will not rain on you. So if you have a desire to buy a house, go for it. But if you don't have a desire, don't let nobody put condemnation on you that you're not this or you're not that. You see, when we focus on things we don't have, we cannot see all that we do have. And one thing I know for sure, advertisers spend millions of dollars to entice us to think that if we buy more, you got an iPhone 7, but you need an 11. I'm not saying people who have 11, there's something wrong with them. And I'm not saying they shouldn't have an 11. But if you can't afford 11 and you need to prioritize your spending, then you should do it and have a balance. But they want you to buy more and more of their products. And if they tell you if you do it, you're going to be happier. You will be more fulfilled or even more comfortable. They do their best to make their perception of what makes you better. They keep putting it in and making it your perception until it becomes your reality. And then you accept this as true. And you got to do it because you look at it as being the real deal. But I come to tell you tonight, the only true, meaningful, good life is living in a relationship with God and doing His work. You know, I believe that if you take care of God's business first, He will always take care of yours. No doubt about it. Because the Bible says whatever you reap, that's what you're going to sow. If you're not giving and caring and making yourself friendly, you can't receive those things. So that's our background for the night. And when Jesus finished talking to this man, instead of him, he told him he was not the judge, the earthly judge. But he came back to teach them further by using a parable. And our text tonight, verses 16 through 21, is a parable that Jesus taught in reference to what was asked to him from the man. Hallelujah. See, that's what Jesus do. Now, the verse 16 through 19 says, I gave you the background, what was happening, and now Jesus is going to the with the parable so they could probably understand it a little bit better. He said, and on 16, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. 17, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And 18, and he said, this will I do. Now watch this. This is what he came up. He said, this is what I will do. Then he said, I will pull down my barn and build greater. And there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. And then in 19, he said it again. He said, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. One of the first things you should notice when Jesus said the things that the man said, and it was a rich man, and Jesus calls him a fool. But one thing you should really realize, that when that man in the parable made that statement, he said, I will. He said, I, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. That was already a sign of danger. Anytime you say I too many times in a situation, your antenna should go up. I will do this. I'm going to do this. The scriptures tell us that we should say, if it's the Lord's will, I will. But one of the problems was he said I all those times. You see, Jesus decided to teach them this parable about a rich fool. And I know you guys understand that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. You see, Jesus taught this parable so that the man could realize how much is enough. The man brought forth plenty, so much that he didn't have room to store it. How much is enough? And how much is just too much? You got to know that this man, they didn't tell you that he was a bad man. He didn't cheat anybody to get it. You know, he just had plentiful fruit that was yielded up from the ground that he didn't create, the seeds that he didn't make. Let's look at it for the value. You see, he wasn't a bad man. He didn't cheat to get it. You see, the more he got, the more he wanted. At one point, I could imagine that he thought that the bonds he had enough. And if he could just fill them, it would be good. You know, I got these bonds. He built the bonds, and he just started. And he looked at it, I'm sure, and said, if I could just fill these bonds, that would be good. But look what happened. Then greed set in, and enough wasn't no longer enough. He could have shared some of that with some people that was in need, or sold some at a discounted rate. He wanted to hold on to everything for the future so that he could get even a higher price maybe. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with getting, but leaving God's will out is the problem. He was only concerned with the me, myself, and I, never thinking what he had, God had given it to him, and not just for him, because he was only a steward. And we know a steward is someone who takes care of something that belongs to the owner. And then if we look at Psalms 21, it lets us know that the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. You see, when Jesus returns, he will want to know, what have you done with what he has given you until he returns? Y'all know the parable about the talents. He gave one 5, one 2, and one 1. You see, he didn't think about to whom much is given, much is required. For all of us who got a lot, we know we have a lot to do. You have a lot to be able to share. You have a lot to show that you care. To whom much is given, much is required. Some people who have a lot always may complain when look like everybody come to you for help. They come to you because they know you got it, and if God is sending them to you, he know he has given you what they need. And I'm not telling you to give all your stuff to everybody, but you have to discern what God wants you to do, and you have to get balanced. And he didn't realize that everything that God had given him was just not for him. And if we look at verse 20, it said, but God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? That's deep. The man had all the plans. He had gathered up the many. He said, I will, and I will, and I will, and I will. And then God said to him, this night thy soul will be required of thee, saying that it's all over for you, brother. All of us have to die. We don't know when. We don't know how. But one thing we do know is the why. We all have to die because when sin entered the world, it brought the consequences of physical death. And God said, this night thy soul be required of thee. You see, the rich man in this parable died before he could begin to use what he had stored in his great big barn. Let's not get it twisted. Planning for retirement, preparing for life before death is wise. But don't neglect your life after death. If you accumulate wealth only to enrich yourself with no concern for helping others, it's a possibility that you will enter eternity empty-handed, no rewards. You got to remember, only what we do for Christ will last. God will want to know, what have you done for him lately? You know, the Bible tells us when Jesus comes back to get his people, he's going to open up in a cloud, and he's going to come down, hallelujah. And they say he's going to have his rewards in his hands. The Bible teaches us about there's 5 crowns for the righteous. Some people I have heard say, I don't care if I don't get a crown. I don't care if I don't get a reward. Just let me make it enough to the pearly gate. But I don't know about you, but it is my desire. When I get to meet my maker, I pray that he tell me, thy good and faithful servant, well done. You know, Jesus said, fool, all of your greed and extra labor was in vain. Because, you know, the more he got, the more he had to work it. He says, in vain, this night you will die and all you own will belong to somebody else. Instead of building more barns, he could have given some to those in need. He didn't realize how much was enough and how much was too much. You see, everything God gives us is not just for us. We have to remember that. Our time, our resources, and our talent. God gave everybody a talent. Because, you see, we live in the kingdom of God here on earth. We were often taught that we in this world, but we not of this world. And one day I say, well, if I'm not of this world, what world am I in? And the word of God through study, prayer, and supplication brought me to realize that God has a kingdom on earth for the believers, the household of faith, the one body in Christ. So even, you know, so we in the kingdom. And if God wants his kingdom on earth to operate, he used the participants in the kingdom, the Christians in the kingdom. Just imagine if just all of the Christians realize we in the kingdom of God and everything that God has given us is for the welfare of the body of Christ. How would life on earth be? And there are no material possession that you can bring with you beyond the grave. All of your properties, clothing, investments, come on y'all, money, possessions will belong to someone else when you die. So the question is, how much is enough? And how much is too much? Yet, so many people are assumed, have assumed and consumed with worldly possessions. What they do, they invest and then they borrow. And you borrow these, all these loans and now you got to pay it and you can't sleep at night. God say, I don't want you like that, bro. Brother or sister. Scheming. Cheating somebody else to get what you want. That's not the way to get it. Doing things that are against the law, you know, like maybe selling drugs or selling your body. Come on, y'all. He said, I don't want you to have to get it like that because there's so much attachment with those kind of things. Because if you're scheming, you got to always watch your back. If you're borrowing, you got to pay it back. So God wants you to have, but he wants you to, he's concerned with what you do to get it. Get what you can. Borrow what you could afford to pay back. Because the Bible say we ought to owe no man but to love him. God said, don't go get them people stuff if you can't pay for it. And file in bankruptcy, and I know it's necessary in a lot of cases, but don't start out with that in mind. I'm gonna get everything I want, and I'm gonna file bankrupt. That's scheming. God wants you to have, but he's concerned what you do to get it, because one day God will say, I'm taking your soul, and you will not have time to make it right. You can't tell God, hold up, wait a minute, come back tomorrow. You see, only God knows how many people have died unexpectedly, such as the man in the parable. Most people today are living selfishly for themselves, always thinking in terms of dollars and cents. But I want you to know that life is short, and it will be over before you know what happens. For the book of James say that this life is only a vapor. What treasures have you laid up in heaven as a Christian is the question tonight. When is the last time? Hallelujah. When is the last time you help a poor person or shared someone and shared a witness to someone? someone about the gospel of Christ. I'm back, everybody. Caller, your number is 256-5689. If you could hear me, please press the 1 button on your phone. Glory, hallelujah. And I'm not going to give credit to Satan, but the phone disconnected, and I was able to call back in and get back in the studio now. What a mighty God we serve. But what I was saying before I was cut off, when is the last time you witnessed to someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ? When was the last time you helped a poor person or share with someone in need? All of us have something to share with others because that's just the way God designed it. And God is not asking you to give what you don't have. God is never going to ask you to do things he know you can't do. That's why he's given everybody different talents and different resources and different abilities and different skills. And you got to use yours to the fullest kingdom building. You see, there are many foolish people in the world today who are living in it as if this world will never end. Come on, y'all. They boast of their own goodness instead of boasting about the goodness of God. They stuff their faces with all types of delicacies without even thanking God for even one morsel of the food they eat. I know a lot of people I sat down, especially when I was in the corporate world, sat down at the table and don't bless their food. That's a sign of ingratitude that you're not grateful that God did it. And you need to be grateful that he did it because you know there are some people all around the world starving. And you have been blessed to sit down and eat. Plus, he said, if you eat, if you bless your food, it might have a virus in it. How many viruses you think God stopped you from having from food that you were eating because you blessed it? Y'all know plenty of restaurants and stores is not the cleanest place in the world or doing the best clean processes. Bless your food. You see, out of, and you know, they have 86,400 seconds in a day. And some people never stop to say, I love you, God, or thank you, even once. 86,400 seconds in a day. Yet God gave his only begotten son to pay for our sins. Come on, y'all. Jesus paid the debt that he did not owe, because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. Jesus paid everything that we owed. So everything we owe to him, so that we could have eternal life. This life is short-lived. It's a vapor. But you will live eternally with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, where every day is going to be a great day. There will be no more tears. Don't forget your afterlife. Don't just live as if this the only life there is. Jesus is not speaking of a pay-as-you-go faith, or you can only get if you do this or that. Because you see, when God gave his son, which was his greatest treasure, he brought grace, which is an unmerited, it was an unmerited gift given to you. And it gave you what you don't, it gives, grace gives you what you don't deserve. And mercy is actively holding back the punishment you do deserve. He wants our participation, come on y'all, in a relationship with him where he has already provided the provision. And he wants his people to give back to him for the well-being for all, building God's kingdom on earth. God is looking for a return on his investment. God is looking for a return on his investment. You are God's investment. And if we do the last verse quickly, it says, so is he that laid up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. Jesus in his teaching is telling, if you only doing things for the world, to be rich in the world, you will not be rich towards God. If you are not sowing in the kingdom of God here on earth, and you are only sowing into the world, watch it. Everything on this side of heaven is temporal and will not be able to take it with you. How much is enough and how much is too much? The scripture lets us know that we should seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of righteousness, and all things will be added unto us. If you seek God first, everything gonna get in place. Might not come when you want it, but he's always on time. Might not get it like you want it, but you're going to get what he know you need. You see, Jesus is challenging us to think beyond earthbound goals and to use what we have been given for his earthly kingdom. You see, he's given us faith, stewardship, stewardhood, and obedience are the ways to become rich towards God. God wants us to enjoy life, because you see in John 10th verse and 10th chapter and the first verse, it said, God said, let me tell you something. You see, the thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. He said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. We must have a balance. and believe what 1 Corinthians 2:9, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor is heard, neither have it entered into the heart of the man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. He's talking about, you can't even imagine how it's going to be over there. So you don't want to go over there short. And I could tell you that God's retirement is out of this world. It's not about how much you have, but realizing that it's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. We have to understand that no matter what we got to understand it's all things through Christ Jesus. It is vanity to want what the world tells you you need and using those things to evaluate your self-worth. Our children today looking at the movie stars and that's all they could try to achieve. That's what they think living a good life is. And if you don't get it like that, then they sorrowful and they doing these things, robbing, stealing, killing to try to get it. Because the world is being their teachers. It would be a sad situation to wake up and realize that all you did or all you have can't save you or make you rich towards God. So as I close tonight, hallelujah, hallelujah, allow the word of God to be your guide, and then you will know when enough is enough and how much is too much. So I ask you tonight to choose wisely. That's our lesson for tonight. God is truly in the blessing business. If anyone would like to add anything, if anyone would like to make a comment, caller, your number is 33987. I think you was letting me know that you could hear me, but if you wanted to say something, you can't. I can't get another prompt, so I'm going to only open your mic in case you want to say something. Your number is 33987. I'm going to open your mic. If you don't want to say anything, you could just let me know and I'll close it back.
Oh, good evening. I was just letting, I was pressing one to say I was on the phone, but I would just say, you know, I appreciate your word. This is my first time being on the call. My mother, Elizabeth, invited me, and I definitely agree with everything you're saying, and it was a good word and a lot to take in and to, you know, to definitely take heed, and thank you.
Thank you so much, darling. I pray that you come back again if God leads you to. I sent out a notice,
yes,
the scripture that I talked about today. Well, your mother probably tell you, right?
Yes, she's going to send me moving forward.
Okay, because I wanted to know if you want me to put you on the list where I could send them to you.
Yes, you can.
And what's your name?
Jasmine. Jasmine.
All right, Jasmine. I thank you so much, and I pray that God's word don't return void. My way of teaching and what God has given me is that I'm just plain and simple. And I'm giving out food for thought. I know nobody is perfect. God is not looking for our perfection, but our direction. And we could be just come a little bit better tomorrow than we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, what we should hope for. But I thank God for you, and I pray that you come back.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Caller, your number is 228-493. I think this is Sister Jeanette McGee. Your mic is open.
I'm calling because I would like to add my sister-in-law's name to the prayer list. Her name is Elizabeth Smith. She's a resident of California. And my daughter asked me, I go to Bible study on at my church on Wednesday night, and she asked, do we have a way to give a name for prayer? I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call our Bible study with Minister Diane and put her name on the list. And that's what I'm doing right now.
And I'm our prayer warrior. Sister Pam is on the phone because I know her number. And I'm sure she's got the name, Elizabeth Smith. And we'll definitely include her in our prayer, as well as whatever whoever leads us out in prayer on tonight. I'm asking that they lift up Sister Elizabeth Smith as well. Thank you, Jeanette. This is my sister, you guys. You know, we be on the phone, and, you know, we don't know each other. We don't know how we look. But the caller that's calling in now is my sister, and her name is Jeanette Clark. And she live in Pearlington, Mississippi. So I was just throwing that out there since she pressed the button tonight.
And,
thank you, Sister Clark.
Yeah, and we will. Good. And we all know that God answers prayers. We all know that God answers prayers. I would like to say that.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. You can say something else, Sister Clark, if you want. Is that it?
That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. And Sister Clark has been calling the station since I started. I don't know, we almost on seven years or something like that. And I thank God for her. And I love her, and that's my big sister. Sister Pam, you pressed the button to let me know that you could hear me. And if you wanted to say something tonight, I couldn't get another prompt. So I'm opening a mic, and if you would like to say something, I'm giving you the opportunity. You don't have to, but your thing was pressed for giving me a signal.
Yes, I just want to thank you for such a beautiful lesson on tonight, Sister Diane. And I just say, Father, we just thank you tonight for just being amongst the living. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace and your mercy and for all that you've done and all that you're still to do for us. Lord, we just thank you for our sister in Christ, our minister, Diane. We just pray, Lord, that you continue to bless her, continue to allow in her to just bring forth your word to us each Wednesday night. And Lord, I just ask you, Lord Jesus, just to bless our Bible study and bless each and every person near and far that's on the Bible study line each Wednesday night that's, you know, the Lord just allowed to come in, Lord. And I just thank you for those callers that called in on tonight. And Lord Jesus, while I'm on the line, I just like to lift up Sister Elizabeth Smith in prayer. And whatever her desire, whatever her needs is, Lord, I ask you that you take care of it. And whatever your will is, Lord Jesus, just let it be done. I just thank you, Sister Diane, again. I love you, and you have been a blessing to me in my life. You just don't know how much, but you have been a wonderful blessing to me. And I thank you, and God bless everybody that's on the line tonight. Amen.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam. And really, that was our exigent prayer, because she really brought a prayer to us. And I could just say amen to what she said. But we're going to go ahead and close, because, you know, it's always my desire to not run over time. But all that I'm asking is that each and every one of us continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that God's grace is sufficient for whatever need, whatever sickness, whatever money problem, whatever. God told Paul in the book, my grace is sufficient. So God be with you until we meet again. And I thank each and every one of them, and I thank God for you, Sister Jasmine, because God said if he be lifted up, he will do the drawing, and I'm glad you stopped by. That's our lesson for tonight, and if it's God's will, we'll be back next week. I love each and every one of you. Like Sister Pam said, y'all can't imagine how much I pray for you guys. I thank God for you guys daily. So this ends our program for tonight. God bless you and keep you till we meet again. Good night and be blessed.